Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Don Royce Roy and Tomas Estrada Palma Think Tank Talk Show Radio. We're one of a kind here to shock your mind with this rhythm and rhyme because it is all ours. Remember, the truth is far-fetched, but you can coexist knowing one thing. Do your own research. Form your own opinion. When all opinions coincide, then you have something to strive for on Think Talk Radio with Don Royce Roy and Tomas Estrada Palma.
Hello, this is Matthew McConaughey, and I love driving down the highway in my Lincoln Continental, rolling a nice little booger and throwing it out the window, and having a fly come and swallow it instead of hitting the windshield. It gives those calm, quiet moments of serenity and peace. And this is Matthew McConaughey saying, listen to the Don Royce Roy and Tomas Estrada Palma Think Tank Talk Radio, because he's one of a kind. He's able to shock your mind. And now, on with the show, and here is your host. Hey, everyone, this is Don Royce Roy. How you doing? And welcome to Think Tank Talk Radio. Today, a special invitation, a manipulation, altercation. Remember, the road to perseverance lies on the motivation and stamina of going forward. Move ahead. Tattoo detective, it's not too late because you've got to whip it. And whip it good. Yes, we are. So just stay tuned. Sit down and let your little ears absorb the sound of tonight's reunion extravaganza show. And on with the show. And callers, please, if you can call in, the number is 917-932-1727. And we've got Monk Cannibaloids on the air. Monk Cannibaloid, you are live here on Think Tank Talk Radio.
How's it going there? Viva la revolución.
That's it, bro. Vivamos la revolución through the things we do. Remember, you art of self-reliance and perseverance. So what's going on? What's in the news? What's happening?
Goodness, you tell me.
I don't know, man. I've been out of the loop for a while. I just got under the wire. I was brewing some Cuban coffee, and it says your show starts in 1 minute. I go, oh, damn, the coffee's not going to be ready, so I can sip coffee and drink and talk.
Yeah,
think
well.
Radio.
So who's on the show?
Just me and you right now.
Oh, okay. So how does it work? When as soon as somebody tunes into the radio station, you can know.
Yeah,
right
it'll come out on the switchboard.
So right
now
it
has a red button. I press it and they go live, like I just did with you now.
Yeah, but I mean,
and then there's like a little phone thing that I can call somebody up. We can call people up.
Oh, okay.
You want to call Obama? Let's call the White House.
No. He's out there with Lady Gaga.
Oh, yeah. Cooking caca. No, you know what he's doing? The Easter egg hunt. It's Easter. That's right. Happy Easter. Happy Passover, everyone. You know, I heard a story of how they made the matzah bread and why it exists. Supposedly, right, the Pharaoh was chasing the Jewish people that were going to the Promised Land. And before Moses parted the sea, they were actually baking bread. And they were in such a hurry to leave because the Pharaoh was coming, right? And they were in such a hurry. Let's get out of here. We got to go. The Pharaoh's coming. Oh, the sea is parted. Go. And their bread didn't rise. So they took it just like that, thus created matzah.
The matzah ball.
The matzah ball and the matzah cracker. And they only brought what they had in them. So I guess in Passover, that's what they eat. They eat eggs, matzah ball, or if anybody's Jewish out there, please call in and tell us. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. Because we got to get history right in order to go forward and move ahead. Remember,
so,
if you
hey,
tattoo detectives, it's not too late. You have to whip it. before you stick
in the middle
it.
Of the week. In the middle of the week, I asked you about maybe talking a little bit about the heroin epidemic. And
oh yeah, it's real bad. And they have the other stuff, that new stuff that it's I forgot the name of it. It's a Russian heroin, and it's like super cheap. Let's say a bag of heroin is $10, right? The bag of that Russian heroin is $2. But what happens is the flesh falls off your body, and you literally turn into a zombie. Imagine your veins and your ligaments are still showing through your bones, but you have no more skin, and you just keep on injecting until you die. That's nuts.
Yeah, but you know,
that's
you
like
know,
something out of the Bible. How do you call that? Apocalyptic.
Yeah, but you know,
think about it.
You know how come? You know why I think? You know why I think the heroin has become so prolific and epidemic here in the United States?
Why?
It all started in. I mean, it really took off in 2007 when the United States government went into Afghanistan. You see,
it blew up. But before that, in Vietnam, all the guys that came back junkies because of the Ho Chi Minh Trail. The CIA funded the Vietnam War with heroin, and it was China White. Did you see that movie with Denzel Washington that was about Bucky Thompson from Harlem that ran Harlem? He distribution. You didn't see that movie called American Gangster?
Vaguely, I recall.
That movie is a true story. It's a true story, bro.
The main with the pharmaceuticals, which is a big industry, they put so much money into alleviating a lot more opiates for the pharmaceuticals. And then
you're right.
What the United States government did is, the military, is they opened up like a channel. So they were able to import a lot more raw heroin into the United States. See, they don't talk about heroin coming from Mexico or Colombia or anything like that. It comes from Afghanistan.
From Afghanistan. Back in Vietnam, it used to come from China, and they used to call it China White.
Right, right. Well, right. So right now, that's why just about every city, man, it's being really, really messed up with the amount of junkies and the epidemic with the heroin. It's really getting bad, you know.
And they're taking it in different ways. Like they put it on aluminum foil and they burn it and they suck it with a straw. I've never heard of that before. I've heard of snorting it, injecting it, maybe putting it in a joint with marijuana, but putting it on aluminum foil is called chasing the dragon.
No, there's some people that actually dip it in and stick it out their finger up their anus and goes right into the blood system.
Oh, yeah, just like the alcoholics, that they do enemas with alcohol so they don't have nothing on their breath, but it's in them. I saw that, too, on a segment on TV. I'm like, oh, my God. People are putting that enema wash, and it's all full of alcohol. And even the alcoholics are drinking Scope, because that contains alcohol, or Listerine, and they're drinking it. I'm like, ew, a perfume.
Have you heard from Gilbert or anybody?
No, nobody's calling in so far. It's just me and you.
Oh, that's
so the topic is. It's really a reunion show. That's why I told everybody to call in, but maybe they're busy or they forgot. Because I'm definitely signed in, and we're live. And a couple of people, I already contacted them. Maybe they're listening to the show and they're afraid to call in.
But that's what I'm asking.
Call
you.
In,
people listening without you knowing that they're listening in?
Yeah, we have over like 444 listeners. So. People are listening. Maybe they need the number. The number is 917-932-1727. Call in, man. Don't be shy. Be part of the show. You know what I mean? Let it go. Everybody's opinion counts.
Yeah, so 44th Street Park is going to have some kind of a jam session in the first
week of May 9th. May 9th, they're going to have an outdoor concert.
You know what I used to love about
here.
The
I'll be here in Florida.
44th Street? Remember when the schoolyard used to play 44th Street in basketball, full court games?
Yeah.
That used to be such a gathering of people. That used to be a lot of fun.
They would do concerts there back then, too. Don't you remember? They would do it on top of that roof. Remember that they had the big wooden board and people would sit on it, and then they had all the little chairs. And the little chess tables that were made out of concrete. And then they had the schoolyard with the two
basketball, the two basketball hoops. They knocked that all down. It's all new now. It's like a water park.
Oh, really?
That park is all new now. No, I don't know. I have to go in it. Maybe there is, because that park was big, so I don't think they would take that out. Every kid loves to play basketball.
Only two blocks
Come on, we can't take that away.
You haven't been there? It's only two blocks away from you.
Yeah, because every time I go, it's locked up. The gates are locked.
Oh,
I don't think they open it up until the summer, because remember, we just passed the winter. Today it was like 60 degrees, and yesterday it was 43. This is nuts again. You're going to give me 43 and then today 60?
Huh? In the schoolyard, we used to hang out on Roosevelt Street. That used to be the best. Friday nights and Saturday nights. Right after dinner, man. You go to Roosevelt Street, and that block used to just start getting packed with cars and people sitting along that wall. And all the people going to Benny's liquor store and all the liquor stores and getting six packs of beers and all the drinks and all the blood.
Carlos Bernal, his big brown Fury. Remember that car he had? It looked like a cop car.
Yeah. And Frank Roach used to show everybody, all the
people. Oh, that guy, he was crazy. Remember he used to do donuts in the middle of the schoolyard? That poor guy, man. He knows the art of perseverance. He was, you know his story. He went to, was it Wildwood or Seaside Heights, and he fell off the pier, and he got crippled.
It was a balcony. Yeah,
oh.
it gave way. Well, you know, when I was a kid on Cottage Place, when before he got injured like that, Frank Roach used to grab me by the ankles and hold me upside down, and he would do that for the longest time, dude. He would not let me down, man. I would just scream, let me on. I mean, he would just hold me by my ankles and just keep shaking me up and down. I never forgot that shit.
I got to remember. I got to look in the history books because I'm sure that Liceo Cubano, before it was the Liceo Cubano, must have been some kind of governmental institution because that place is like a marble building, man. You know how much that building would cost to build?
It was like a Masonic temple. It was for Jews.
Wow.
It was back in the 50s and 40s and stuff like that. It was a Masonic temple, you know.
Because that place is like, it must have cost maybe $1 million to build back then. And that place is like,
I don't know,
the White House,
dude,
like all marble.
We were lucky when we were kids, man, because we grew up with Celia Cruz, Johnny Rodriguez,
mm-hmm.
Willie Colon, Hector Lavoy. I could go on and on and on with the shows.
Remember, ever go to Yankee Stadium, find your All-Stars? Or did you hear about it?
They
bought the album and you had to hear the album. Your brother had to have that album because he loved Find Your All-Star.
Yeah, that was a good setup, but. But the Liceo Cubano, man, they had so many labels, you know, so many high names for famous musicians that went through there, man. You know, the funny All-Stars,
Hector Lavoe. Yeah. Hector Lavoe died from heroin, man. He was a heroin addict all his life. Did you know that?
Yeah. That movie he did was good, too.
And he lived in the Bronx. That's where all the heroin is.
No, yeah, I mean, the heroin's all over now. It's not just in the Bronx.
Oh, yeah,
you got
now, but I'm saying
City.
Back then, yeah.
New York
How
City,
funny that
everywhere.
The artists would take heroin to improve their show, I guess, to last longer, and at the end it just killed them.
Right. No, but that was a very, very nostalgic and pivotal building that they still go on for us, you know?
And at the same time, there was a lot of stuff going on with rock and roll. Like the Doors and Morrison and him doing cocaine and how he died so young. And that guy was an artist, bro. I love his music. I love the Doors.
Mm-hmm.
Can you remember being small and hearing Come On Baby Light My Fire and East and West just opened up and all they had was a couple of rolling papers, some incense, and some candles in the store. And look at it today.
And posters.
Yeah, and posters and black lights.
Yeah.
Those were the days, bro. And we were young, man.
Yeah, those good days, good times, man. The East and West, John, what was his name, Alex. Alex and the guy from the Bangs, Gary.
Yeah, Gary.
He's
still working. The Bangs are still going strong, and they're down the shore. And they do concerts every once in a while, and they play in bars and stuff. But how old do you think they would be by now? Older than us. because we were small. They were already over 18 or 19.
Gary's probably about 65 years old, I think. I'm not sure. I would imagine he's about. And then the bass player, Frank Sofia, he used to play with Red and Joe Salvador and Frank Sofia. They used to have the barbershop right there on 43rd Street across the street from the fire department.
Okay.
I forgot that little barbershop, and they used to rehearse right inside that barbershop. And I remember as a kid, I used to always show up there just to listen to them rehearse. And even before...
I never asked you something. How did you learn to play drums, and who taught you? Or did you teach yourself?
No, I pretty much taught myself. You know,
How did it happen? Did you just buy a pair of drums, or did you do a drum pad?
What was the evolution
of the monk drummer?
I don't know.
You're good. I tell you, you're good.
Thank you. I just started as a kid hanging out with drumsticks and always putting drumsticks in my pocket and walking around with drumsticks and playing everywhere. Anything I can hit my drumsticks on, I would walk down streets and hit the garbage cans, the cars, the fences, all the different wrought iron fences. And I would just constantly rattle-tattling with the sticks and just doing power drills.
Do you remember one time we went to St. Joseph and they had a Led Zeppelin tribute band? And the drummer threw a drumstick out, and I caught it. And then you took it, and you were playing exactly the same thing the drummer was playing, like A Whole Lot of Love, the same beat. You were playing it on the telephone poles on the aluminum ones going home. And I go, look at this guy.
Where was this at? Where was the concert?
At St. Joe's. It was me, you, and Yorty. And I think Dulac, too. And it was a Led Zeppelin tribute band, and they sang just like them.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's much better. That was,
don't
I,
you
I
remember?
Was
that was a long time ago.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and then what happened was I remember I guess in high school, how did it happen? I'm trying to remember how it happened. Yeah, the Tony Palumbo was always one of my mentors. He was like one of the well-known best jazz drummers in Union Hill High School. And he was like a junior or a senior, and I was a freshman. And I used to see him in the auditorium playing pencils. And doing that, like he would hold what's called the not the match grip, but the traditional grip on the pencils. That's the
right between the forefinger and the thumb.
Right, and well, one hand, and then
one hand.
And I used to be so nervous of that guy. You know, I was afraid to even say hi to him in the halls. Well, then when I had as time went on, I quit school, got my first job. Got my first paycheck, bought my first drum set, brought it to my mother's house, and my landlord told my mother I had to get the drum set out. So I moved out, and I started practicing every day. Every day I practiced. And then I remember Tony Palumbo they were auditioning for a drummer. And I didn't understand why Tony Palumbo was auditioning for a drummer when he was a drummer. So I went to go audition. It turned out he was playing bass guitar.
For the Tarkus band?
No, not the Talkers band. Tony Palumbo had his own band. And then he was making his own
that.
Band down in the basement. And then I guess it was him and a couple guys. I don't know. Because what happened was I auditioned, and I was like, no way, this guy, I was so nervous to play in front of Tony. And sure enough, he asked me to join the band. And I was like, holy shit. And then Ofemio came along, and Johnny Martinez Talkers band.
Ofemio played drums, or he was a guitarist?
No, Tony was playing bass guitar. Because
Tony
was playing cello. Ofemio was playing guitar, rhythm guitar. And then what we did was we talked Johnny Martinez from Talkers to start playing with us. And when that happened, Talkers got really upset with us. They wouldn't, they didn't like the idea that they felt we were stealing Johnny. But anyway,
and Ray was in the band. What did Ray play?
Ray was a keyboard player / singer for Talkers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I wish I had their music. If they would have sent it to me, I would have played it now so everybody could have heard it.
Yeah, well, they probably got some recordings. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with them. I thought you said Ray would be calling in today.
Yeah, well, they said that I sent them an invitation, and they sent one back saying they were going to call in.
Let me tell you something, bro. I'm going to tell you, you know, in spite of who might be listening, I'm going to tell you this, bro, and I told you this in various forms. Roy, don't rely on your old friends and family people to get you going on this show, bro. I'm telling you, bro, your friends will keep you down, bro. They will slow your process, okay?
Then why did you call in? Then you shouldn't have called in.
No, because what do you mean? No, because you and I we got a whole different agenda. But my point, what I'm trying to say here is, I'm not saying anything bad about our friends or anything. What I'm saying is, you should focus more on doing shows that, you know, cater to the general public, the general
public,
audience,
yeah.
People you don't know. Well, you know, here you and I talking about.
Well, the next show we do, I'll do that. Don't worry, that's for sure.
Yeah, because I'll
get a nice hot topic.
You know, last week we talked, and when I made a couple suggestions, and then you just out of nowhere said, oh, you know what, we're doing a schoolyard reunion show. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to go and support you because, you know, that's what I want to do. But I really believe.
Well, we can talk. If they don't call, we can talk about whatever we want. It's our show today. So we got the airways. You
want
to go in a different avenue? Let's take it.
Yeah, but my thing is don't sit around waiting to do stuff with
exactly
and with the guys from the house, you know, because they're not gonna support you, bro. They
right.
Just don't, you know. It's just the reality. I'm not saying anything bad about them, but it's just the fact that you know. So what I was saying is, you know, try to go more in terms of what is gonna attract the general public. If you got like 400 something listeners right now, Roy, they're not from the schoolyard. Half of these people, they don't know shit about what we're talking about. They don't know nothing about Roosevelt Street. They don't give a fuck. Okay,
yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So keep that in mind, bro. It's you know, don't you know?
Well, let's change the subject.
Right.
Let's talk about something else, then. That's all. Screw them.
No, yeah.
Let them eat cow caca.
Look at what did BNB? What's it called? BNB. That real estate thing. Now they got over 1,000 rentals in Cuba. You know that
wow.
Helped with the diplomatic discussions and that Obama started out there with Cuba. Now it's starting to boom. Shit's going to start happening so fast in Cuba. You know, and a lot of people. You know, I'm sure they got different perspectives on that and stuff like that. But you know, that to me in my lifetime, one thing I always said since the Clinton administration. I used to live out in the Hamptons, and out of nowhere, I was at a coffee shop, and this guy came up to me. I guess he was some kind of a public relations person for the president entourage, and they came and they asked me if you had any question if President Clinton was to come and talk to you, because he was going to do like a drive-by down the main Montauk highway. If he comes and asks you a question, what would you say? So they're kind of prepping you up. And I said, if Clinton was to come and ask me any question, the only thing I would ask him is to lift the embargoes in Cuba. Since way back then is when I wanted to see this happen.
I think it's in the works already, man. I think there's probably stuff going through already. You know, they're probably going to start rebuilding Cuba because it's been deteriorating for 55 years, you know, without really heavy, good equipment and good materials.
Right. They need a lot of steel, raw materials. They need a lot of just
concrete.
Phosphates, a lot of minerals and stuff like that. And, you know, and exports and imports, you know, they got to start more. They got to receive more imports than anything else. They got to open the gate.
They got to fix their sewer system. I found out that's why they can't fish by one side of Cuba, because the sewer system is all broken. And there's like green sludge algae coming out from everybody's waste. You know what I mean? It's not being filtered. So they got to get on that quick.
I'll tell you one thing you won't find in Cuba that you can find in a lot of other countries, and you can find a lot of it here in the United States. You know what that is?
What's that? What's that?
A Freemason building.
Yeah. Maybe there is. And you don't know. Let's look it up. You know what I mean?
In Guantanamo Bay, that would be the only place you would see a Freemason property.
Probably, yeah.
Nowhere else.
Maybe in Havana, because Havana, remember, Havana was big with the mafia and everything.
Oh,
okay, we got a caller. Caller 5254.
Hey,
how
what's
you
going
Welcome
on?
To the show. Hey, it's
what's
Tupac.
What's going on? Thank you. This is Apostle Yeshua.
Shakur. What's up, Ernie?
Shakur. No, I'm not Shakur, okay? Don't compare me to other people. I am my own unique person. There's
well,
no
give me your name because
like
then I'm saying it wrong.
Okay, Yeshurum. Yeshurum is my spiritual name. That's Apostle Yeshurum is my spiritual name that God gave me. You know, God gives spiritual names to his leaders. And my own personal name is Ernie, as you know, Ernesto.
Yes.
And anyway, I was listening to you guys now, and I was kind of, you know, it was so hilarious. I was laughing at your, you know, how you were kind of arguing about what you talk about and whatnot on your program.
Right.
I think it's nice to talk about the past and about the stuff that we did as kids, you know, and in high school and whatnot. But it's also important.
What's your weirdest story? What's the weirdest thing ever happened to you in high school?
The weirdest thing. Wow.
Yeah.
I got to think about that one. But I tell you, I'm going to tell you a funny story.
I know you like to DJ because you used to hang out with Peter Reyes and me and help us DJ. So I know you love music.
And I also became a DJ. In fact, now that you mention it, I did make business cards and I pass them around because I also did work as a DJ on parties and stuff. And I was called as Sounds Unlimited was the name of my business, of my DJ business. And of course, I used the name Ernie G Disco. That was my nickname, Disco, because everybody.
Well, I remember you used to live in a red brick building across the street from the city hall.
Right.
I remember that.
And I was going to tell you right now a very funny story, you know, that I'm going to share with you and all the public out there. That is going to make you roll on the floor right now, because if you remember that movie,
The Exorcist? No.
If you remember the movie.
Why you tell this
Ben,
to me, Timmy? Why?
No, I'm talking about a movie that Ben Stiller, I think it was Ben Stiller or the other guy that is Jewish, that he did with Aniston girl, you know, that
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah. Along Came Polly. Well, in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Out the window.
Okay, well, in that movie, if you remember, there was a scene that she took him to some kind of Indian restaurant, you know, where they had a lot of spices. And
right.
So when he went back home with her, he had to go to the bathroom, you know, like quickly, you know. It was one of those things that he had to do a number two immediately. And so when he went inside the room, So the ferret came along with him, and he, you know, the thing is that when he noticed there was no toilet paper, and so he had to use like a little towel that she had there, and then when he flushed the toilet, you know, the whole thing, came up and whatnot. So it was hilarious. It was a hilarious scene. But what happened to me was something similar, and it is that I was, when I was in high school, I was walking along that building that you were talking to me about, where I used to live.
Right.
And I had, you know, a real pain in my stomach, man, that I had to go and do a number two, like, immediately. And so...
You should have went in City Hall.
So I went into that building that I used to live, because I remember that our neighbor, her name was Rosa, you know. She was still living there, you know. So I knock on her door and I said, Rosa, can I use your bathroom immediately? I got to go, like, now. And she said, sure, come in. She was alone, okay? So guess what? As soon as I sit on the toilet, I hear voices of women coming into the place, all right? And
uh-oh.
Then I look at the toilet thing, and the toilet thing was empty. There was no toilet paper, you know? But it was during the winter time, so I was wearing, you know, Rosa, you know? So I got my thing that I had on my neck, you know, because I wasn't going to stand up and say, Rosa, can you please give me some toilet paper? You know, with all those ladies in there, you know, I didn't know what women were in there. So I simply used my scarf, you know, and I threw it in the garbage. I didn't flush the toilet with that because I knew that was going to happen, you know. It'll probably,
it was going to overflow.
It'll come up and whatnot.
Hey, we have another caller. Maybe it's Ray. We have another caller. I'm going to put him on, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Caller 786. You're on the air live.
Guess who it is?
I have no idea.
I'm from Florida.
Speak up, Gilbert. And tell you who you are already.
You know who I am.
Mario. I don't know this voice. It's the mystery guest.
Who?
All right, well, anyway,
it's
your time.
Anyway, listen.
It's
we got 51 minutes left.
Today, listen, today is April 4th, right?
Oh,
yeah,
come on, guys, talk about something interesting. I'm calling all the way from Florida.
Oh, so it's Carlos. Carl Bonello.
Hey, what's up, boys?
It's Bernal.
Is it Mario?
No, it's Bernal.
Oh, okay.
Sorry to disappoint you.
No, man, I don't. I'm not disappointed.
You know each other. You both went to Union Hill together. We all did.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Wow. Wow, man, that's amazing. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, through the years,
Yeah, everybody's on live. So take your turn, but I'll shut up.
Like, I want to ask you a question.
I want to ask a question.
We got 50 minutes left.
Okay, why all of a sudden am I seeing, like, in my room, there's this big cloud, and it's like looks like one big giant eyeball. What the hell is going on? It only happens when I hear that guy's voice from Texas.
Oh, maybe you're getting possessed.
In your room?
What's going on?
Yeah.
I would call someone a man of the cloth.
Timmy, why you do this to me, Timmy? Why?
Holy water!
Hey, guys, well, let's try to take one at a time when you talk on the phone. But the guy from Florida, is that Carlos Bernard?
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
How you doing, Carlos?
I'm doing wonderful, Muggsy. How you doing, buddy?
All right, hanging in there. So so what's going on with you? You're playing music out there, Carlos?
No, I'm not playing music. I'm playing with music. I play the music.
Carlos, did you ever play an instrument? I didn't know you were in a band.
Yeah, I used to play guitar. I used to play for Tarkus before they were Tarkus.
Wow.
And I was probably, it was actually me and Johnny Martinez. We were the only two spics in the Italian club there.
Following command.
Actually, it all started, and believe it or not, I didn't know how to play any instruments or anything like that, and we were sitting in class at Roosevelt School, and we heard music. And we went to room 309. I'll never forget it. It was Mr. Angusano. Remember him?
Yeah.
With the glasses?
Yeah.
And he would break pencils with one hand when he would get pissed off.
Did you guys remember Matus and Selva?
Oh, yeah, of course.
So
I go in there and there's a band playing in there for the students, and it was Palumbo on the drums, Anthony Palumbo.
Okay.
We had Fido, remember Fido, Adolfo Abreu? Fido was on the sax. That guy could play the hell out of any instrument, man. That guy was very talented. And you had his cousin Rene Abreu on the other sax. And you had Emil Cafaro playing trumpet. You had Rich Cafaro playing bass, and you had Johnny Martinez playing guitar, lefty, with the strings the way they were. I thought it was the freakiest thing in the world. And they were playing, like Jimi Hendrix. And they were playing music, man, and it blew me away. I was infatuated by the way Johnny was playing the guitar. And at the time, you remember Agustin Gonzalez, who lived next to Roy?
Yeah.
You remember, remember him?
Blue Jay.
Yeah.
They used to call him Blue Jay, Agustin Gonzalez.
Yeah, he had these beautiful
eyes. He went out with Yolanda.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, me and Gus were like staring at him. I was like, dude, I can do that. Look how easy it is. And they were playing 25 or 64. It's like the easiest song in the world. You know, anybody could play it. I said, if he could do that, I can do that. Let's start
right.
a band. So before you knew
that's
it, Gus
everybody
and I
wanted
went,
to start a band,
Bernal.
That was like the main thing back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
playing, everybody wanted to. That was good. Why don't kids do that today?
Let me tell you something. Those guys, except for Johnny Martinez, all those guys were at their age accomplished musicians because they all used to study the music downstairs with Mr. Platt. Remember him?
Okay.
He taught everybody how to play and read music except for Johnny Martinez, who used to play by ear. So I said, if you can do it, I can do it. Gus, let's do it. So we went and we bought guitars, of course, cheap-ass guitars, over at Nunzio's Music on Bergeline. And then,
what street?
It was like down the block from the theater, like a couple of, not even a block, a couple of stores next to the theater.
I think it was between 45th and 44th Street.
Yeah, 44th Street.
Right. Because you got Fast Stories on 32nd, which is still there.
No, that's he came after. This was across the street from Nelson Cigarama.
Oh, this was the first music store probably in Union City then.
Yeah.
And Papito, wasn't Papito playing drums? He had that clear set of drums.
Yeah,
what was the name of their group, man? I forgot the name of their group.
That came after. Anyway, me and Gus bought guitars, and then right away we figured out Gus was tone deaf. He couldn't play a damn thing, and he couldn't even play with himself if he wanted to. It was really bad. And then I started playing, and I was picking up real quick, and Anthony Palumbo asked me if I wanted to play for their band, that they needed a second guitar player. So I did. And believe it or not, I went and joined that band without even knowing how to play the guitar. And just by watching Johnny Martinez, I learned how to do it. Mind you, it was very difficult because he was doing it upside down and backwards because he was lefty.
Right.
So I had to convert everything righty. So I would have learned a lot faster if I would have played lefty, but unfortunately I was righty. Anyway, long story short, we started the band. It was Palumbo, Ray Cesari, and Rich Cafaro, Emil. And then at that time, Fido bowed out, and so did Renee. So it was more a rock band than it was with the brass. And then Emil bowed out, so it was more rock big time now because it was just two guitars, a bass, Ray and the organ, who he couldn't play worth a damn, and he could sing
and then
even less.
How did Vinny come into the picture?
Thank God he got better. And Palumbo on the drums.
Oh,
he could
you
always
can't,
play.
You can't forget Vinny LaManna.
Yeah,
or
right.
Vinny DeMeo.
Well, DeMeo had his band going at the same time, and he was always head-to-head with Palumbo to see who was the better drummer. And poor Rich Cafaro, he got pulled to Vinny, he got pulled to Palumbo, they both fought for him. It was all such a crazy thing. Then Tim Cafaro got into it, and Tony Correa also. But they were a little bit older, and they were much more accomplished. Needless to say, we played in a couple of places, this and that, and then I had to move to 47th Street. Once I moved to 47th Street from 44th Street, that's when I got back together with Papito, AG, and Benny, and we started a band. And we were named, what was it? Together. That was the name of that band, Together.
Yeah, I used to.
And Muggs actually sang for us. Muggs sang for us, bro.
Hi, Jack! Your love. Oh, that's Congas, the group Congas from Spain, bro. Hi, Jack. Your love. And
yeah, but
that
was
so
they
funny.
They used to always have me come on stage and do that song with them.
Remember?
And they had the one,
Yeah, somebody was stupid enough to pay us to do a wedding, too, or 15,
man.
Something like that.
Those were the days, bro. I wish
that's
I had a
great
green screen and we could do it all.
Oh, man.
Listen,
great.
It would be nice to go on a some kind of time machine back to that time, huh?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm
going
to call the 12 monkeys right now.
It would have been awesome. Listen, I wanted to ask you, how was your experience living on 44th Street?
My experience was fantastic. I was, I originally lived, well, actually.
Remember,
there was
a pet shop on the bottom of your building. I remember, and I worked there, and so did you.
Well, that's when I lived on 45th Street.
On the corner.
And the
is that where the projects were,
building,
you know, right there on 44th?
I lived on 44th Street on top of the store.
Okay.
The store that they have there on 44th. And then my grandma lived down the block on 45th, and they had that pet shop. Well, it was more like a fish store. They had
pet shop. Right, on Palisade. And the pet shop owner had long hair. He looked like Serpico.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, anyway, listen, I wanted to tell you that I really enjoy, you know, listening to your experiences with the music because, you know, I also, you know, I'm in the music. And I started, Roy, so that you know this about me, you don't know this, started in the music playing drums when I was 10 years old, you know, playing the drums, man. And in Cuba, I remember since you asked me about really incredible, unusual experience, I remember being in Cuba, like 9 years old, 8 years old, and there was a guy that played the guitar, another guy that played something else, and, you know, they managed to put, you know, like wigs on us so that we could imitate the Beatles, and we did like a presentation for the whole block there, you know, and I was playing the conga drums, you know, and we did like a show, you know, doing a Beatles song. Que era in Spanish, you know, it was supposed to be from Formula 5, you know, from Formula Quinta, you know.
Right.
And we did that, you know, like the Beatles. And that was the most incredible experience that I had as a little boy in Cuba, you know.
786,
but,
you're back up.
Yeah. But
very
nevertheless,
cool,
you know, I did, you know, came to the States and started playing drums, you know. That's how I started really, you know, doing music here, playing the drums in my house by myself. And then in Union City, some people there, they wanted me to sing for them, you know, in their band. And that's how I got into the singing, you know, aspect of it. But anyway, I wanted to mention something real quickly about the number 4, because it's very interesting. You know, today is April 4th, and I'm sure that you guys didn't know this, okay? But there's some interesting stuff that has to do with the number 4, okay? And I want to mention that to you. For example, you know, up in heaven, it is mentioned that in the throne of God there are 4 living creatures, okay? Also, you know, we have four archangels that are the main archangels, which are Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, and Uriel. They're 4, right? And of course, we have the 4 winds, you know, that blow. We have the 4 corners of the earth. We have the 4 seasons. And, you know, animals have 4 legs. You know, we have the 4 elements, which are air, water, fire, and earth. We have 4 godly requirements, which is to pray, Bible study, meditate, and fast. I speak 4 languages, English, Spanish, Italian, and also angelic tongues. And also, there are 4 gospels, by the way, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as you know. There are 4 food groups, you know, as you know, it's meat, you know, fruit and vegetables. And of course, you know, dairy products. And, you know, there have been 4 great world ruling kingdoms on the earth, which is the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Greek and Macedonian Empire, and the Roman Empire. And lastly, but not least, you know, fruit and vegetables. I need you to get this. And of course, you know, dairy products. And, I've been 4 years. There have been 4 without a girl. So please, if you know anybody that you can send my way, be a good friend and send her to me, okay? All right, guys.
I can't hear the guy.
I need you to get this. And of course, you know, very product.
What's going on, Roy?
Without a girl.
Somebody's listening to the show and they're live. You have to turn it off, if not, we got an echo.
Okay.
That's me.
Okay, now we're good.
Turn it off.
We're nice and calm.
Thank you.
Jiro left. It's just me, you, and the monk cannibaloid. He's over the ground humanoid dweller.
Who got off the radio?
Jiro. Tupac.
The hack. Did you take him off?
No, he had to leave. Se estaba cagando. He had to go to the bathroom. A cagar.
All right.
Hey, Carlos.
What's up?
So have you heard from Frank Suarez?
Nah, bro. I haven't heard from him since I left. Last time I heard anything about him, you were telling me the story where he crashed the damn van on Borderline.
No, yeah, 51st Street, I think it was. It was 51st. I went to New York over there to visit you guys, and it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I never liked to drink in the daytime. He told me to go to the go-go club with him over there by putting him gas, and I didn't want to go. He talked me into it, and we got drunk. It's not even
the naval base. I remember the naval base.
Yeah, so it's around 5 o'clock in rush hour. And we get out of that, you know, like when you come out of a dark place and it's daytime and you're drinking, you know how fucked up that is, right?
Yeah,
anyway, we're on Kennedy Boulevard, and he makes a right turn up 51st Street towards Burgerline. And the Frank all of a sudden gets this wild idea to start driving the van filled with electronic tools on the sidewalk in between telephone poles about 45 miles an hour. Slams into a telephone pole. And we bail. We run out of the van and we abandon the van. And I was like, dude, never again. Never again. He goes right to his house and calls the cops and says his van was stolen.
Okay.
He was cool. You know, he was always cool. But when he would drink, he would transform into the Hulk. You know what I mean? He would be very angry.
Yeah,
I don't know why. He was a mean drunk.
He was an angry drunk. He had a lot of issues.
Frank Suarez was fatherless. And that shit used to tear him up. You know?
Yeah, his dad died when he was young, so that tore him apart.
Yeah. And his poor sister died, too. Snow White. I remember her.
Yeah.
His sister died?
Yeah, she died
his
of
sister.
MS.
Yeah.
Multiple sclerosis.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
As soon as she got here, she actually married that guy, real nice guy. She got very religious, and they moved here. They had a little girl. I went to visit them. They were, like, living close to my parents' house in southwest Miami. And soon after that, Frank's mom moved here. Then Frank wanted to move here, but he was probably having problems with Soraya, his first wife. And then,
did he have kids or no? Did Frank have kids?
I never heard him having kids, but I did see his
Frank didn't have
wife.
Kids.
I did see his ex-wife here. She was like she didn't even know me.
Wow, man.
Man, I
didn't know
his
sister died. She was so nice, man. Frank's sister was so nice.
Oh, yeah, man.
Very calm and peaceful girl, you know?
Yeah, and she put up a lot of shit from him.
Yeah, I remember him playing drums. Akil, didn't you buy the drum set off of him?
Yeah, that was my very first drum set. I bought that 7-piece with the Zildjians. That was I had that
it
drum set.
Was it black? If I remember?
Black.
My memory is still good, guys.
Yep. We painted that thing black. It was great.
And he had like a room that was all full of rocks, and it was all painted in the back of the apartment down there.
That was
a cave.
It wasn't full of rocks. It wasn't full of rocks. That's what the building was made out of, bro. Bluestone.
The foundation,
The whole freaking building was made out of bluestone. It was pretty cool. But
Pineda and Johnny Mateo.
Yep. Never heard from them either. I think Pineda's in Orlando.
Wow.
But Mateo, I never heard from him either. He dropped off the face of the earth.
Hey, what is it? What's wrong with you, Carlos? Why don't you ever call me? I tried calling you 100 times. You don't even return my calls, dude.
You called me 100 times?
Yeah, I gave up. I stopped calling you.
No, you probably called me a few times, and probably when I was in a doctor or getting an x-ray or getting my spleen taken out or something. You probably called me at the wrong time, bro.
Especially you can't call me when I'm having an exorcism and getting the demon out of my body, you know, Pazuzu.
Well, make sure he doesn't come this way.
No, he won't. I'll be there the 14th. Don't worry. Call you as soon as I land.
It's hot as hell over here, bro. We went for
It's cold. This is crazy here. It was 43 yesterday. Today it's 60. And probably tomorrow it's going to be 32 freezing.
Oh, my God.
Go figure. Monk is in Pennsylvania.
You are? What the hell are you doing there, bro?
I came out here Labor Day weekend because I wanted to restore my license. And if I come to Pennsylvania, I could have done it a lot cheaper than any other state. But instead, I ended up buying myself a really nice pickup truck, really good, powerful truck, and tools. And then I couldn't get no friggin' work. And then the winter came along, and I got stuck out here, dude. So now I'm making plans to either go back to New York or I'm going to go traveling again, probably California or Texas or Louisiana, somewhere. In the next week or so, I'm going to make a move. I'm waiting to get approved to go
back
to New York.
He's
going to
get work wherever he goes. He's a carpenter, Bernal.
Carpenters
are blessed.
Yeah. Well, there's going to be a lot of work done.
God's Ocasio, you know, was a carpenter. So
yeah. I always get work, but this over here is sorry-ass city, dude. Oh, yeah, but last summer I had such a great time in New York City, man. I was there for 5 months. Carlos, what a great time I had in New York, bro. I played a lot of music in like Central Park, Washington Square Park. Every Friday and Sunday I would get together and we would do a lot of rumba drumming. You know,
yeah.
I had this a special drum that a friend of mine made in California. It's called like a cajon. But it had a really weird shape to it. And it was real small, but the sound that I could pull out of that drum, people would be blown away with that drum.
It's all about the wood, man. It's all about the right wood.
Yeah, but this was, it wasn't no fancy wood. It was just well made. And then what I do is, like when I went to Austin for 2 summers in a row, I just called my friend up Richie in California. I said, bro, I'm in Texas. Can you ship me the drum? No matter where I am, he'll ship it to me. But when I go traveling, I ship it back to him because I don't want to travel with it, you know, because too many things to carry. So I'm waiting for 7 months. I haven't played, bro. I'm going crazy over here, crazy. This weather, it sucks. Cold weather, man. I mean, it went down to like 20 below zero.
That's why half of the people left here to Florida. All our friends are in Florida because of this, because of what we go through.
That's for sure. You know what? Like 2 weeks ago, I went. We took the first road trip. We went up to Baltimore just for my daughter. Man, it was freezing as hell, and I remembered why the hell I left.
I
couldn't wait. And as soon as we turned around the next day, we started driving down in South Carolina. It was like 70, and as soon as we hit Orlando, bro, it was 87 degrees. Now I know why I freaking came down to Florida.
Yeah, but I don't know. I don't like Florida, man. It's too flat, sandy. I don't know. And they got those little bugs that no see them.
Nah, man, I love it, bro. You've been like Monk. You've been to California. You've been to. You know what it is to be in a warm climate. But just picture me. I've been here for over 35 years. Cold weather. Spring, summer, back to cold weather. Hey, it takes a toll on you, man. I'm like fed up. Next year. I'm going to be in Florida somewhere. Forget about this. I can't take it anymore. I've taken as long as I can.
Roy comes in. He's white as a damn ghost. When he leaves, he's smiling. His arms look 100% better. He feels better. Got all that vitamin D in him. It's good for the soul, and it's good for your body, man.
Was I there? Memorial Day? No, Veterans Day.
Veterans
we got
Day.
Together.
Yeah, we had a great time.
So how's your health, Carlos?
It's hanging in there, bro. One day at a time.
How much you weigh? What do you weigh now?
At about 37, I've lost 74 pounds.
Wow, super cool.
Since the surgery, yeah, since the surgery.
Cool, bro.
You're big, bro.
Yeah, I was super big.
Do you see Papito or anybody?
No, the last I heard Papito was in a...
Oh, you saw these? Didn't you see these guys in Benny's funeral? Who was it that you saw? Noel and Doris and somebody else. I saw the picture. What was the last time?
George Afro's brother, Joey Powell.
Okay.
Who else? Who?
Oh, Johnny Ross.
Tony Dennis
here, right?
Is down there. Richard Velasquez, the president of the schoolyard, is living down there.
Yeah, I don't know what's up. Richard is too old to be president of anything, bro. He got married and his wife is dogging him.
Oh, boy.
Him. Oh, yeah, how about Ewie? You ever hear from Ewie?
Ewie's living up there in Jupiter. In Jupiter, Florida. Now, I heard him and Humvee, since they've been down here, all they do is go to the horse races and lose their asses.
Who's that, Humvee?
Same thing they were doing up there when they were kids. They were always betting, you know? They were always gambling.
Probably going to Pegasus.
Yep.
Yes.
I remember William Volta used to work in Pegasus, and I would be driving on Route 3, and I would see him walking from Union City all the way to the racetrack. And I would stop and pick him up. And say, oh, man, Roy, thank you for picking me up, bro. It's a freaking long walk. I go, I would say so. From Union City all the way to Pegasus?
Yeah, it's a long-ass walk. That's
there
a hike.
No direct bus. Carlos, how about George Yordi? You ever hear from George Yordi?
George Yordi is living in Miami Beach. He's alive and well. He's off of drugs. I speak to Jackie all the time.
That's cool.
Dude, if you ever get a chance, tell him I'm asking about him. I want to talk with Yordi, bro.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Yeah, give Jackie the phone number to the show. Have him call in.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. Every weekend we can get another person and somebody else. Before you know it, we'll have like 25 people on.
Uh-oh, we got to shoot for more than that, but we got to have the show a little bit more structured and actually have real.
Yeah, it's not a sporadic infusion. It's got
to
be content.
We got to have content.
Carlos, Roy's as crazy as ever, bro. He hasn't changed one fucking bit, Roy.
I know. He was here. We wanted to do some crazy shit, but I had the kids with me, so we couldn't. Plus, we're a little bit older.
Well,
we
did. I went and ate fritas. That was crazy for me because back then I just got out of the hospital.
Yeah, he was eating like a savage.
Sometimes I get smoked up and I call Roy and I realize what a terrible mistake, dude.
And I flip your mind because I'm one of a kind here to shock your mind with this rhythm and rhyme.
Oh, how funny.
El loco de Santa Poco.
Are you smoking cannabis? Do you smoke cannabis, Roy? I mean, Carlos?
No, I don't do any of that stuff anymore, bro.
Carlos has a little thing in his back because, you know, his back is messed up. And it's like, an electric pulse thing. And it takes his pain away. I wish I had one because I have 3 vertebrae in the back that are killing me. And you know what it is, Carlos? It's the freaking cold weather, bro. It's the cold weather that's hurting my joints, man. Because when I go to Florida, I don't have it. It doesn't exist. So you tell me.
Of course not. It's definitely arthritis and stuff being spawned off by the cold weather, though. Definitely.
What is it?
They took me off the Humira and they put me on something else, which is even better now. Thank God. Because you told me, I remember you told me that your mom had complications with the Humira. So this new stuff called Aldenza doesn't lower your immune system and you don't need blood tests. And it's better. And it's not injections, it's 2 pills a day. And I'm feeling, I would say, 97% better than when I took the Humira.
Humira
I guess things are getting better and they're prospering, you know what I mean? Like the evolution of time is making things better. Because, you scared me when you told me that about your mom. So I was like looking for something else, and thank God there is something, and I'm off that now. So, and I feel great. And I'm still, I still weigh the same. I'm weighing 180. I haven't lost or gained a pound.
Stay where you're at if you're comfortable, man.
Yeah, when I go over there, I'll gain a couple of pounds because I'm going to go eat two fritas. I still have the taste in my molar on my right tooth because it was so good. And the croquetas from the Versailles. Where can you go get croquetas for $40 for a dozen? Nowhere. Only there.
Oh yeah. So, okay, Carlos, what's the vibes like in Miami down there with the diplomatic thing that Obama did with Cuba?
Oh, with the Cuban incident?
You know what? The Cubans have been told so many damn lies that they're used to it, and there's so many promises that they're neither here or there. They're more for waiting for physical action. You know what I mean? Let's see some physical stuff going on.
But did you notice?
As far as they're concerned, the Cubans have been going to Cuba forever. There was no embargo. You know, it's all what you call
right.
But the Cubans here have always
been. It's all a lie because there was stuff coming in, Bernal, from other countries.
No.
Maybe not the United States.
When the Bush administration was president, when he was president, especially the son. They you weren't allowed to take more than $3,000 a year to Cuba, okay? And Obama stopped that. Now you can take all the money you want to Cuba. You could take all the packages you want to Cuba. When Bush was president, you couldn't do that.
All sorts of, like everything else, man. There are ways around everything.
Yeah, and all the artists are jumping in the bandwagon and they're going to Cuba, Jay-Z, Conan, Channel 7, Channel 12, they're all going to Cuba now. Why? Because they want to show off. Oh, we're in Cuba. So what?
Yeah.
Well, some of us were born
there. Conan's shows were stupid. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, Jay-Z.
Yeah, he was, they're touchy-feely. They're looking to see the culture, but they really don't know it. They don't understand it.
They're doing it for the money.
They don't
money,
know
though.
Half of the people there have been lied to and are living in poverty for over 55 years. And the higher hierarchy live good.
That's the real delicate thing about capitalism is that, see, a lot of people go like Conan, and they go and they do this. They give you this idea about what it's like to be a white man in Cuba, instead of, you know, how old, but you know, but they're not really touching the real gist of the culture, you know, and they're not really giving you the true interpretation, you know. But
go into the real Cuba, and you'll see. The poverty and the kids without shoes, and they're playing in a puddle of mud because that's all there is. There is no swimming pool. There's a puddle of mud in the middle of the road. And a dog, a dog dies, a horse dies, and in the morning, it's all everybody ate the meat from the horse. And that's a true story.
Yeah. The thing is that
it's called tasajo. Cómete un poquito de tasajo, which is horse meat.
Yeah, but you know what? It's really no different than it is here in the United States. There's tons of
Americans. The same thing is happening here. The media hides it. People don't look the other way. And, you know, it's a shame. You know what I mean? Because we have so much money. Why are they letting these people live in poverty and not eat diseased, shunning them? And we're turning their back on them when we shouldn't, because we have the money to lift everybody up.
Well, answer me this. This is the richest country in the world, the most progressive country in the world. We have the best military in the world, yet we take our guys, we get them in the military, we send them over to fight, we have them killed, shot, maimed. They come back, and we forget all about them. We give them shitty freaking medical treatment. We don't help them. We let them commit suicide, and yet...
They're dying in the VA hospitals, bro. You know that.
Hey, in front of every military base.
You go to every military base, and it's filled with people trying to get into the military. Why? Because we have no jobs.
And in front of every military base, you know what they have? Pay loans.
That's a big thing. Yeah. And they take it right out of your paycheck.
Yeah, you know
It's my
real,
point being is because they don't even get enough money, they got to be borrowing money.
Because
they're in the military, they get good credit.
When I went on vacation just now, we stopped at Fort Benning, Georgia. We stopped at
my old stomping grounds
in North Carolina. We stopped in North Carolina at Fort Bragg, and it was
82nd,
sad, bro. It was sad. It was like the ambiance of the soldiers in the town is like they were robots. They're pissed off. They're very rude.
Right.
It's not the way it used to be, you know? Proud
right.
to be an American. Is it, why should I be proud to be an American if America has forgotten
If they're
going to
treat me like shit, yeah. I know.
No, terrible, man.
No, dude, and in my travels, you see how many homeless people I meet in my travels? And how many of them are young guys straight out of the United States military? And they're out in the streets, and they're fucked up in the head, dude. Whacked out. I mean, super whacked out people.
It's called post-traumatic stress disorder because their minds are brainwashed.
There are no jobs, so they go into the military. They're going through that wacky shit over there. They come out, they're crazy. They still can't get a job. So now they're committing suicide, committing crimes. They're back. They're worse than when they started going into the military.
You know, what I always
and
always
a lot
think
of women
is,
too are coming back. Not only men. A lot of women are sending. Yeah. They're sending them into battles. You know, combat.
Yeah. And the thing is, the military doesn't even want them. After they're done with them, after they chew them up, they spit them out. They don't want them to stay.
And they're getting raped. They're getting pregnant, and they're getting thrown out of the service.
Mm-hmm. And if you have good grades,
you know what's the craziest thing about our society is this, bro. And I think about this a lot of times. It was a terrible thing what happened with the Twin Towers. 3,000 people got killed. But in return, we turned around and we killed almost 500,000 Iraqis and Afghanistan people. For 3,000 in exchange, we killed 500,000 people.
And your point is?
And they're still killing them, and it's still going on, and it's really a war about fuel and oil. That's what it is, and money and power.
Yeah. All it is that we have too many bullets, and we need to waste them.
Yeah. Uranium depleted. And now that's where we're going. We're going nuclear. Watch the stuff that's going to happen, nuclear and biological.
The United States cannot make money unless there's a war going on.
Exactly. It feeds the economy. They can print more money.
Yeah, we always have to have a war going on, a conflict, something. We got to have our faces in something.
And it sucks, bro.
No money.
You know, I love the military and I was in the military, but the one thing I don't like about it is the war. That's the only thing I don't like about it. And it's crazy because that's what they train you for. You're going to war. We're going to get ready. You got to kill. You know what I mean? Instead of being educated and use your mind to fight the war with your mind, not bullets.
Yeah, but unfortunately, that's what it takes. And
yeah,
it's not even the training before or the war while it's going on. It's afterwards. That's the real war.
Right.
Afterwards, when our boys come home.
What the veterans are going through now is the real war. You are so 100% and 10% right.
Yeah.
And all these VA hospitals treating people bad. Well, now they passed a law that you can go to any hospital because the VA couldn't even take care of them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Come on.
And you get these veterans that are all cracked up in the head. They show up in a regular hospital that you're at with your kids.
And it's even worse. Yeah, they get put in an isolation room. I've seen it happen.
Right. They think they're crazy, or was this guy? This guy's homeless. This is, well, you know what? Before that guy was homeless,
he's
he was
suicidal.
In the
and then the disparity. I've met veterans that get like $5,000 a month, and then I've met veterans that don't get anything. Nothing.
Right.
It's so crazy. It's like if you don't know you don't go through the right channels, you can't get the services.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to know what to apply for, when to apply for it, and how to get accepted. If you don't do those three circles, you don't get the money from the government.
And even then, man, it's like pulling teeth.
Right. Exactly. It's like a potluck. It's like playing the lotto. You may get it, you may not.
One third of the homeless men in the United States of America are veterans. One third.
Yeah,
I believe.
And we're patriotic, man. I'm sure Bernal, if he had to do it all over again, he would do it, knowing that he would be safe and his family would be safe. I feel the same way. You know what I mean? Because they're not coming here to my house, and they're not going to kill my mother, my father, my kids, my grandkids. They're not going to touch them.
In a heartbeat. Keep them away.
In a heartbeat.
Go to their house. Go to their house and tear their house apart.
No, that's crazy world. So are you going to be going up to that concert they have on 44th Street in May, Carlos?
Nah, man. No,
I'm going to be in Florida. I'll probably be seeing Carlos. We'll have our own concert over there.
Yeah.
We'll have Carlos Bernal and the Dinos.
I really wish them the best, but I can guarantee it's going to be a flop.
Why is that?
Why? Well, there are people going for the wrong reasons, and people who weren't even part of it growing up there are showing up. So they really can't relate. They're just going to go get high and try to pick up girls or whatever, you know. It's
right.
Gilbert already said if they were going to get a alcohol permit and they can't get one.
Because
Bobby Geddes said that they have to go to Trenton and apply, that it's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
So that they can go to the Union Club or somewhere afterwards. Why do it there? That's the park, they fixed it all up. It's not the same thing anymore. There's hardly no room. The whole front of the park on the 45th Street side, it's all a water park, and they got, like, tubes and stuff. You can't even play there. You got to play where the old basketball courts were.
Well, that's the thing. The first thing they started talking about was liquor.
Yeah.
You know, go to a bar, bro.
That's right.
There's supposed to be
It's supposed to be music and culture and old times.
We used to party back there, and we didn't get permits to get beer. We just got the beer and the alcohol, and we just showed up there. We didn't ask permission. You just do it.
And Cafaro's mother would call the police, and everybody would have to run.
You got chased away by the cops. You're 57 years old, bro. You don't need to be running from the cops. A lot of us can't run.
No, you just
have to get busted.
Menendez. Menendez, 8 indictments.
Oh, yeah.
He's like, you got to distinguish the difference between friendship and corruption.
Right. The only thing that happened to him that didn't happen to all the others is he got caught.
Yeah,
right.
Everybody else does it. They just didn't get caught.
Yep.
He pissed the wrong person off, and he got busted. That's all.
Right.
He snitched on him because everybody does it. It's what makes the world go around.
He said, this is not the way I'm going to be. This ain't the way I'm going to have my last days on the Senate.
Yeah, I know, right?
Well, they said
nice
some doctor family. Gave him money and gave him a free jet to go to Santo Domingo, and he got prostitutes. That's in Santo Domingo. It's not here in the United States. So since
it's not in
the United States, who governs it? We do or Santo Domingo? Think about it.
Well, Santo Domingo lives off of prostitution.
Yeah. So does Cuba.
Briberies. He was taking briberies. Bullshit. Just like any other politician. They're all scumbags.
Well, Musto drained him, remember? He went to school with us. Remember, he used to work in the audiovisual department.
My kids don't freaking believe me when I say it. They're like, Dad, you went to school with everybody. I was like, no, just the crooks.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I got to take off. It's my sister Carol's birthday, and we're going to go give her a surprise.
Oh, tell Carol I said hello. She should have called the show, and we would have gave her a happy birthday song.
All right.
Remember to tell Yordi I'm asking about him, please.
Yeah, if I see him, I'll talk to Jackie. Hey, let's get some real stuff on there so we can get some more people involved.
Some
real issues.
When we'll get some good content, you know, we'll think of something good and juicy.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Right.
All right, guys.
Good hearing you, Carlos.
Have a wonderful
All right, Carlos.
Easter.
Take care.
Stay safe. Be good.
That was Carlos, the Carl Bonero effect.
So, man, that's good to hear that Yordi's okay.
Yeah, because I heard so many stories that he was dead, that he was found in the beach with a crack pipe in his hand, that he was a male prostitute. Gilbert told me that a cop told him that he died. and look at the true story, because I'm sure what Bernal says is the truth. Bernal is an honest person. I trust him 100%.
Yeah, no, I was told that Yordi got shot in the face and Eric got killed
in
the club.
Yeah, there's like, so it's like you tell one person, by the time it gets to the 12th person, they chopped his head off. You know what I mean? It changes.
Yeah. I can imagine how many people think that I've been dead or in jail or whatnot, you know?
Yeah, because they don't know. You know what I mean? And you're alive and well. You're still doing your drums. Is that all you ever played? Did you ever play drums and that was it? Or did you play any other instrument?
Well, I mean, I mess around with the piano, but I don't call myself a piano player. And I play bass guitar, but
organ.
I don't call myself a bass player. Because I don't know, I can only play by ear. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. But drums,
but you play good, because I've heard you. And I remember when you used to practice on top of that garage of that mechanic of the old man over there. You used to play pretty good, bro. On Kennedy Boulevard.
Okay.
On top of Tony's garage.
You had your drum set up there. That was years ago.
And that girl, what's her name? Mary Crab used to come and see you. Maria the Crab Lady.
You can't be it. I don't want any.
Those are such good stories, bro. Every time I hear that, the hair in the back of my neck rises up to the north.
Oh, man. Yeah, we used to have a good time, man. Good parties up there, man, you know. That was me, Eufemio, Tony Palumbo, Johnny Martinez. We had the band called The Shots back then.
The Shots.
Yeah.
I remember one time I sang with you and you recorded it. I wonder where that recording was. The floor was the opening door. I knocked twice and I rang the bell. Sister Mary started to yell. People told me that I sound like Frank Zappa. I don't even know. You know what? I never even heard Frank Zappa sing. I got to go on YouTube and listen to him.
That guy plays that stuff. It's crazy stuff, bro. But if they're going to get rid of that, and listen to him, you know?
Is he the one that sang with Alice Cooper and he took a shit and somebody ate or something? There's some story about that?
Yeah, I think it was eight.
That Frank Zappa was singing with Alice Cooper and he wanted to do better than him, so he took a shit on the stage and then he ate it?
Something like that. I don't know. That's all rumors.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a myth. You know what I mean? It's an urban legend.
You know
the story
is
so good, it's been carried on till today.
In Austin City Limits, I saw Iggy Pop, dude. That guy was a trip seeing Iggy Pop, bro. That guy.
Yeah, he's good. I know him, man. I had Flacco.
Yeah. But okay, what? I mean, he's old. By the time he got done with the show, bro, he was dragging himself off the stage.
You know who's still going strong? Robert Plant, bro. He's still going strong. And he got offered I don't know how many millions of dollars to do a new album, and he turned it down. He said, no, I'm ready, I'll do it.
Yeah. Although everybody's getting old, man. Well, see,
Pink
Roy,
Floyd,
what time is it?
You know what I mean? They're still doing concerts. I love Pink Floyd, bro. Don't you remember sitting in my house having the speakers up all the way and I'm playing Dark Side of the Moon? Don't you remember that?
Yeah, vaguely. I mean,
Every time you would come to my house, I would put it on. I had all the records. I still have them, bro. I got to put everything into digital and sell them records. I have over 50,000 albums and about 10,000 45s.
Vinyl's coming back, dude.
Yeah, then I should keep them then.
Yeah, because vinyl's coming back big time, man. They're starting to, production is getting really big on vinyl all of a sudden.
Cool. You know who I used to love to hear? Jimmy Castabunch, It's Just Begun. Remember that song?
Yeah. All that music, I used to play drums to all those grooves, bro. You know,
those were good grooves, bro. Those are rare grooves. The kids today don't know what those grooves are. You know that it's been lost. We got to bring it back.
Yeah, no, that's good funk drumming. You know, really good funk drumming.
Like this song. Did you remember this song called "Babe Ruth on First Base" by the Mexican? You never heard of that song?
How'd it go? I'm sure I heard it.
Here, I'll play it so we can hear it in the background. Let me put it low, and you'll be able to hear it.
and it should come on any second now. We got about 2 minutes left. Here it goes. It's got Spanish guitar. They used to play this in PAL, and everybody used to dance to it. I can picture you dancing, your sister dancing. Remember that?
Yeah, that was beautiful as well. Yeah, I remember
Chico Hernandez, Don Roy too. Green of the Avenue, Mary is the Jew.
Remember that song? I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Intentions are good. Oh, Lord. Yeah, that's Santa Esmeralda. The guy who sang it is called Leroy Gomez. He's on my Facebook page. There, he's in Spain.
Oh, right on. That was a good. I used to. That was cool. So many good music, bro. You know, so much good music we grew up with. We were
and
really
it's being
group,
lost
that.
To history. Well, thanks to YouTube, it's still there, because like you can get it and show it to the youth. Like I show it to my grandkids. Look, this is a song that I used to play when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 32 seconds left. The show's probably over now. I'm going to play a song. Where is it? Let me see. The ending song. And I'm sure you're going to know this song. What could it be? Rain Clouds. Who could it be?
Boy, tell your audience, bro, that you're gonna give them some good shows. Oh.
I'm going to give you a good show in a couple of weeks. And we're going to come, because you know what? We are riders in the storm. Good night, Mr. Monk. The show's over. Peace, my brother. Peace, everyone.
Peace.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. Into this world we're thrown. Like a dog without a bone. And packed her out alone. Riders on the storm. There's a killer on the road. His brain is squirming like a toad.
Episode of Speak Talk Radio.
Girl, you gotta love.